Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hello, everyone. It is Valentine's Day, or as I should say, St. Valentine's Day, here on the Council of Trent podcast. I am your host, Catholic apologist and speaker, Trent Horn, and we have a special Valentine's Day episode for you all. Very excited about this one. But before we get to our amazing guests that we have today, I want to let you all know that for our premium subscribers, those of us who are supporting the podcast at TrentHornPodcast.com, I have a special bonus clip for you today on the secret origins of Valentine's Day. How did a martyred priest or bishop in the 3rd century turn into Cupid shooting arrows at everyone's tuchuses to get them to fall in love? You will find out all about that if you are a subscriber to the Trenthorn Podcast at TrenthornPodcast.com. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to bonus content like that. $10 monthly donation, you get a t-shirt with my fancy mug on it. And at other donation levels, you get to submit questions that I will answer here on the podcast. So if you want the real story about Valentine's Day and how we as Catholics should reclaim it, then consider becoming a supporter at TrenthornPodcast.com. And of course, your generous support is what makes the podcast possible. But we have another special Valentine's Day episode today. I was suggested by a colleague of mine to do an interview on Catholic dating, romance, marriage, and I think it's quite appropriate. I mean, usually on this podcast, I'm talking about, you know, theology, apologetics, defending the faith. And at first I thought, well, does that really fit into what we're talking about when it comes to defending the faith? But honestly, I think it does. Because a lot of the questions that I get about, you know, my children have fallen away from the faith or my parents don't practice the faith anymore, I truly believe we don't need just good arguments and reasons for people to be Catholic. What we need are strong families. I'll give you an example of this before we get to our wonderful guests. There was a study conducted by the Swiss government in 1994. It was later published in the year 2000 called The Demographic Characteristics of the Linguistic and Religious Groups in Switzerland. It's a page-turner, let me tell you. But it's by Werner Hogg and Philippe Warner, the government offices there. And the study revealed something very interesting. It says, it is the religious practice of the father of the family that, above all, determines the future attendance at or absence from church of the children. This is what the study concluded. If both father and mother attend church regularly, if both mom and dad go to church, 1/3 of the children will be regular churchgoers, and 41% will end up attending irregularly. Only 25% will stop going. If the father irregularly attends church, and the mother regularly does, only 3% of the children will become regular churchgoers. If the father is non-practicing, if he doesn't go to church and the mom goes to church, only 2% of the children will go to church on a regular basis. But what happens if the father goes to church regularly, but the mom irregularly or doesn't go to church at all? Study says that the percentage of children becoming regular churchgoers goes up from 33% to 38%. So children are even more likely to go when they see that their dad is invested in this. And so I get questions from young people all the time. I rarely ever hear someone say this. I can't find a good Catholic woman. I have never heard anybody say that. But I have heard many people say to me, I can't find a good Catholic guy. And to me, to defend the faith, we've got to help those Catholic women who are discerning marriage find these good Catholic guys out there. That is the mission today. So I've brought in three people that will help us do that, each in various stages of life. First, we have wife, current domestic engineer, wife of my coworker, Charles, Mr. Chuck Gallucci, the webmaster that keeps Catholic.com going. So she is here to represent the married position. We have producer extraordinaire Marie Dixon, who represents the current dating position. Hopefully, if not, we can all have, you know, a good cry over that and eat chocolate and whatnot. And we have Miss Emily Sanchez, expert executive assistant to President Christopher Cech, representing the single and searching end of the dating spectrum, which is, you know, open to and nothing. And I'm excited to talk about that. So I have been yammering on a bunch. Ladies, welcome to the Council of Trent podcast.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So
still dating. We don't have to cry about it.
Okay, good. Because you and I had the pleasure of taking you and your beau to Disneyland to escort you around. And I was happy to do that to you know, have a little magic and Walt Disney trademarked pixie dust in the air for a young dating couple. I'm happy to do that and glad to see that things are still going well.
Yeah, we had such a great time and we both agreed that surprisingly neither of us expected it, but we felt closer after spending the whole day there, which was
Were you worried you would just completely get on each other's nerves like cabin fever?
I did not know what to expect, but I'm not much of a park person normally, so I thought it sounded like it could be fun, but a long day, but it ended up being really great. Mm-hmm. So
very good. Next up is introduce Miss Ashley. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself? And you're also involved in a project to help young Catholics find one another.
Yes, my husband, Chuck Gallucci, started a online dating site for Catholics called Catholic Chemistry. And currently we have two boys and a third girl on the way. So our oldest is 2.5. His name is Augustine. Our second is just turned a year. His name is Joseph. And then we have a third due next month. And her name is going to be Therese.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's so exciting.
Super Catholic. Can you tell?
Right? It's like my wife joked when she went to Franciscan University of Steubenville that if you weren't sure what a girl's name was, it was, you know, probably Mary, Catherine, or, Therese. Yeah.
Exactly.
Elizabeth. Yeah. It's just like mm-hmm. you could
pick from about 10 names.
You could just I think like when people name, especially Catholic girls, you just roll a dice and it's one of those. Or you have mm-hmm. to make sure you get them all so you cram them all into the person's name. This is our fourth daughter, Mary Catherine, Teresa, Elizabeth, of Lisieux.
Of Lisieux.
So true. Yeah.
So last we have Miss Emily Sanchez. Emily, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, well, I love life. I work here at Catholic Answers. I'm the executive assistant to the president, as you said. I'm the oldest in my family. I have a ton of wonderful friends.
How many siblings do you have?
I have 8 younger siblings. I'm the oldest.
Do sometimes you feel like, I don't know, so we have Ashley who's got 3 children, but if you have like 8 younger siblings, do you feel like you've been like playing mom for like
a
decade?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Ashley, do you have any siblings?
I do. I'm actually the youngest of 4. So my oldest brother, Alex, he's a priest here in the San Diego Diocese. Mm-hmm. And then I have 2 sisters, Amy and Alicia, that one lives in Texas and one in Northern Nevada. And then I'm the youngest.
What birth order is Chuck?
Chuck is the, he's the youngest now, but he would have been like middle child. They had a He has a brother who passed away.
Okay, but as he was growing up, he was the middle younger. And
mm-hmm. He's a 4 too.
Well, there's a lot of studies that show about people when they marry that your birth order does affect your personal relationship dynamics. Yeah. For example, in my own marriage, Laura is the baby. She's the youngest of 3, mm-hmm. and I'm the oldest of 3. And actually, I've heard from reading in studies that oldest and youngest mm-hmm. tend to do the best.
Interesting.
The ones that have a hard time are youngest and only child.
Interesting. Oh, why do you think that is?
So, well, I mean, I don't know your experience as being the youngest, but usually the younger ones, the youngest, tend to usually get their way, I think.
I'm the oldest. I will attest to that.
Because by the time the youngest is here, the parents' willpower is completely gone.
Exactly.
Right.
I could already tell. I'm only 2 years in, and Joseph's already getting away with a lot more.
Oh, my goodness. With my own children, I mean, with Matthew, you know, we made sure to sit him down, give him his organic baby food. I wake up in the morning. Thomas is at the kitchen table feeding himself oatmeal. He's 18 months old. I wake up. Hi. He's just got his spoon manhandling already like 6 months early. So yeah. let's return now to the topic I want to discuss. And so the thesis I'm proposing is that Catholic women are having a hard time finding a good Catholic man, especially if they're discerning the vocation of marriage to raise a strong Catholic family. First, do you think that is a legitimate complaint and problem that's out there? And what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely.
Why do you say that,
Marie? I talked to 3 close friends 2 nights ago about this mm-hmm. who, you know, want to meet people, are wonderful people, have good mm-hmm. jobs.
These are female friends.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're funny. They're fun to go out with. They're, you know, intelligent. And it's really hard to give advice to those people when I can think of a handful of people that I would recommend to them. And most of them are already dating somebody, or, you know, for whatever reason, they're, you know, they're living in another state, or they're, you know, it doesn't work out.
It's hard when you try to think, oh, I want to fix up so-and-so with a good Catholic guy. And you try to rack your brain, and it's like just a tumbleweed rolls across your visual mindscape. I must confess even that I knew a nice young single Catholic lady that I originally approached your current beau and said, I've got someone you should really meet. And he said, oh, I'm terribly sorry about that. Couldn't be romantically befuddled with someone at your work, actually.
I was cracking up because, he said, oh, Trent offered me somebody. And I said, oh, what did you say? And he said, oh, I'm dating the girl who actually was talking to you earlier today.
Well, because you brought me a gift on his behalf to my office. And I thought, why is Marie bringing this to me? Oh, and it all comes through. So on both the single end and the married end, what do you guys think of the dearth of good Catholic men?
Yeah, it's interesting because I went to a small Catholic school and I have so many good guy friends. So when I graduated, people kept saying, oh, it's so hard to find good men. And I was thinking, what on earth? No, it's not. I know so many. But it's interesting now, 2 years later, because I do, sadly, agree. I think it's true. Like, no offense
to the
good guys.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Thomas Aquinas College.
TAC, okay.
TAC, yeah. And it's so interesting. I know, same as Marie, so many good, wonderful, beautiful Catholic girls who just aren't getting asked out.
So is it different after college? Does it change a lot?
Yes.
Well, yes and no. Yeah, okay, probably for you, yeah. I mean, and we had a really solid group of friends, and we didn't really, most of us didn't really date each other, which I think was a phenomenon of my class. Particularly, but I mean, I know so many good Catholic guys, but it's true. There just aren't a lot of people dating, especially dating good. Yeah.
Ashley, what do you think? You were on that end and now you've landed yourself a nice guy. What do you think?
I would definitely say that after college, that's where it starts getting slim picking. Mm-hmm. So in college, there's like plenty of events, especially if you're going to a Catholic college, let's say, then you could say, okay, there's this there's a lot of guys around me, you know, but then it's after college. Yeah, it's definitely after college.
Because suddenly the guys who are not, and I think my thought about this is that the guys who aren't really attached to their faith, when they're out of college or out of that social network, it's hard to run into them at mass or at Catholic functions, whereas maybe you're more apt to find other female friends at those functions, but the guys start just kind of dropping out, even at the end of high school.
Or there's the other side of it, which I think you kind of touched on, Emily, which is that, for example, there's a parish here in San Diego that has a lot of young Catholic guys who I think are pretty solidly practicing Catholic, and they seem like good people.
But
they're not asking girls out. And they talk about wanting to date people, too. But there's this fear, it seems, with asking girls out. And I've always been a really direct person, so I'm kind of like, if you're interested, you're interested, and you're going to ask me out. But
let's dive into that. I want to talk about first for Catholic men and women, young Catholic men and women, finding, I think someone, sounds like somebody's trying to Ocean's 11 their way into the studio. If you hear that in the background, I think someone's trying to drill their way in
it's
or something
like that.
It's
one of Jimmy Akin's mysterious noises. You investigated the mysterious noises.
I did do mysterious noises with Jimmy Akin. You know what is great about Jimmy? The other night I was reading about Yeti and Bigfoot, and I was reading about the D'Elitov Pass incident, which could possibly, back in the 1950s, be an account of Yeti, the mountain Bigfoot, attacking Russian skiers. And then I perused over to Jimmy Akin's podcast. He had already covered it a week ago.
Oh,
so
man.
Like this. But so that hesitancy asked me, I want to talk first about meeting people in person. And then Ashley, I want to talk about online dating, because I think what's great is we've got these two different areas, both with their strengths and weaknesses, in person versus online. So when it comes to in person, meeting people within your own social circle, you meet, you know them, your friends. I guess for you ladies to give us advice on this, what should a guy do if he has an interest in a Catholic acquaintance or friend that he knows? Because from my perspective as a guy, when I remember this, and this might touch on Marie or Emily, your experiences, there's always this hesitancy to want to ask out a Catholic girl you know, especially who's like a friend, because you're worried about then things becoming awkward and torpedoing the friendship you have and just obliterating it, and things are weird, and so you'd rather not do anything. What do you think of that fear, and what should guys do with it?
I think if things move too quickly, it can happen that way. But I think if more guys were willing to ask people out on a casual date, like a real get to know you a little bit better, like in a more intimate setting where we're not with a big group of people, like take somebody to dinner and, you know, it ends up not going in anywhere, it's not as big of a deal. I think there's not really a culture of that, of people casually dating.
Is it just a kind of is, well, we're friends, then we're ambiguous friends, then all of a sudden we're dating? Like, what is happening?
I think he can ask her out, and I think that's good, because it can be a casual date, and you know, it doesn't have to
end in marriage.
Exactly. I know, the girl's part too, just because he asks you on a date doesn't mean it's necessarily like he is in love with you and he's going to marry you tomorrow.
If he asks you on a date, don't start writing your name with his last name.
Exactly. So emotional chastity right there for her, she needs to watch that.
Expand on that. What do you mean by emotional chastity?
Well, but right there, that's an emotion. Like that's, you know, I'm not a theology major or anything, but right there. So if you have a good group of friends and one of the guys asks you on a date and she automatically goes there in her mind of, I mean, it's okay to have a thought like, you know, wow, he's attractive and I'm attracted to his personality. This is exciting. He's asking me out on a date and be flattered by that. But then also allow him the freedom to allow the freedom that it doesn't have to work out.
Right.
You know, like put the pressure
and
away.
And to not make things weird between the two. It's nothing personal if he goes out with you and then, well, he's just not feeling it, or vice versa.
Right. Exactly.
Like, yeah, that's so important.
It's okay to have that romantic thought, but then he needs to end it right there. And then just get to know the person as a brother and sister in Christ over that dinner or coffee date or whatever it is.
Yeah, actually, I think that's important.
Yeah, and then for the guy asking the girl, he needs to not drag things out. That's where it gets hard. So if he's ready to date, then that means he's ready to date with the purpose of marriage.
Right.
So he needs to kind of know what he wants and be a little decisive. No back and forth.
You're talking about DTR. Define the relationship.
Well, I mean, he needs to go on a date, get to know her, and it could be a few, but then as soon as he knows it's, you know, I'm not sure about her, then he just needs to, especially if you're in the same group of friends, then you need to have a conversation. Light, but just saying, you know, I don't know how to do that. I'm not a guy, so
I didn't have to shoot anybody down. Like, you're telling me you didn't have to shoot down Chuck like 3 or 4 times, and then you're like, okay, fine, Chuck, I'll go out with you.
No, he was a dream.
Yeah, how did that happen? Tell me.
Yeah, tell the story.
He was a dream. Well, so for him, let's see. I just got back on the scene. So I was 30, already feeling kind of nervous because you're 30.
Will you tell us what you did before that?
So what I did before that was, so I took a different route with my singleness, guys. I ended up discerning religious life. And then, so I was there for 3 years with the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. So if any girls are discerning, I have to point them to there.
Sure.
It's a great order. But so then after being there, though, I realized that was not what God was calling me to. So then I came back to San Diego and had to go back on the scene, so I met at, they had, I don't know if they still have it now, but they have Ultimate Frisbee.
Yes, on Mondays.
So then I went there and ended up, there's like tons of Catholics there. And it's very nice because it's not Bible study where you're like an intimate sharing, but anyway, we met there.
You have to be doing, I find to grow in intimacy with relationships, whether it's same-sex friends or discerning dating, you have to be side by side before you're face to face.
Exactly.
Wow, that is such a great way to put it.
Can I say something else too? So for those guys that are nervous about asking a girl out, especially if you're in the same circle of friends, because that's when it gets awkward, okay? Like, that's where it could be like, oh, we're the same circle. I want to ask her on a date, but I'm not sure. One point of advice is there a possibility where you can even organize where it's a smaller group of friends,
right,
but still get to know her without asking on the date and kind of discern within yourself mm-hmm. a little bit first.
And maybe an activity where you can interact with them more one-on-one.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Right. Like that I find it would be a little bit more prudent because mm-hmm. it's obvious if someone asks you on a date.
Seem to look for this? Because I remember in my dating life, I didn't ask people out on, I wouldn't ask a girl out on a date until I had some kind of a sense that she had an interest in me as well. Like I didn't want to just cold turkey it. So do you think that this goes on both ends, either three of you can speak to, that guys should be cognizant to try to be aware that there's some interest here that warrants a one-on-one date? Mm-hmm. And girls, I think girls sometimes have a hard time with this, like see what your thoughts are, of not understanding the art of sending that positive signal mm-hmm. that like it's mm-hmm. okay to ask me on a date.
Yeah.
So what do you all think?
I do like that idea. I mean, I've definitely experienced that, you know, where it's kind of out of the blue. Someone asks you out and you kind of weren't expecting it. And you're
deer
really
in the
like,
headlights.
Oh, man, I don't know how to say no, you know, and you don't want to break someone's heart. You know, if someone asks you out and you kind of feel like, oh, they must be interested in me, but you really don't want to go out with them, you know. So it's kind of, you know, you kind of wish that they had maybe waited for a signal or something like that. At the same time, it's so few guys are asking girls out that when someone does, it's so brave.
Yeah. And that's what I think, that if we're going to encourage men to ask out women, then shouldn't, you know, Catholic women, shouldn't we be willing to say, you know, it's okay to do that and to not, you know, be offended you've been asked out if there's no interest. Just for, it's for women now to have the onus to politely say, well, I don't see this being like a romantic relationship. If you want to go out as friends, that would be fine.
Yeah,
is that okay?
Yeah. David and I actually just talked about this the other day. I think there's, with Catholic and Christian women, sometimes we get into this mindset of the man always pursues, which is good. The man should be the one asking on dates. The man should be the one, you know, taking that lead. But it's okay to show that you like someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. It gives them a signal. Yes, I want you to ask me on a date.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm talking to you so much. And this is why I'm smiling at you. And this is why I say, I love your hair today, or whatever it is that you're
and
saying.
And that's what gave me the signal with Laura. She always laughed at my jokes. She was always fun and bubbly. And then later I find out she does that to everybody. So I was like, oh, no. I'm glad it worked out, because you guys know Laura. I mean, she's super bright and bubbly and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be hard, though, especially for girls who have that bubbly kind of personality that, like, it can be hard to, like, oh, you know, what's going on here? So so to pull it back together, because I want to get to the online dating here in a second. What, there are some women maybe listening and feel like, okay, well, we need the guys to stand, to man up, and they should. But at the same time, a young Catholic woman, and I'm thinking of, you know, marriage. If the guys just aren't doing anything, what should I do
mm-hmm,
in this situation? Mm-hmm. And Ashley, feel free to tailor this into maybe going and looking for someone both in person and online. So what do you all think of that for the Catholic girls? Like, what do I do if the guys just aren't stepping up?
Ashley?
Marie?
You can go find them, I guess, right?
Well, for the girls, we have to put ourselves out there. So that is another thing. So kind of forget how awkward you might feel, but you have to do that. And I could be advice from a religious sister who gave it to me when I got back on the scene. It was... you know, like that you don't go to the mass where only the old people go. You need to go to the young adult mass, Ashley. And when I called to touch base with her a little bit, there was a hiking trip or like some hiking day. And I chose to do my taxes. And she's like, Ashley, you can do taxes anytime. You should have been out there meeting people. So it's both. So for the girls, you do just have to put yourselves out there first. So that way the guys actually know you're available and can approach you. So definitely if you're like in the young adult scene or there's a young adult community within your area, go be a part of there. Go and be part of ministries.
Mm-hmm.
You can meet people. That, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Eucharistic minister, but just there's Catholic ministries all over. You could doing stuff with them. And then, yes, I would encourage putting yourself online.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is just I have so many friends that actually they were highly involved in their young adult community and they went and tried online, and that's actually where they found their spouse.
Mm.
And they're very happy. And the thing is, I'm you know, friends with the girls who met these, I mean, great Catholic men, the devout Orthodox Catholic men,
right,
online. And so for the girls' advice, we just have to really put ourselves out there.
Put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. Emily, do you think that's something that the young women need to do who are single? And I'd like to get your perspective. What do you wish these young single Catholic guys would, we talked about it a little bit, but from your perspective, wish they kind of did differently to make things a little bit easier so the process is better facilitated, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with Ashley about putting yourself out there. I think it's funny, just kind of a personal anecdote, but when I go out to events in the San Diego Diocese, you know, I always think, okay, I don't want to be that girl who's just there to find a man. Like, I want to go and have a beautiful, you know, faithful time. And so I try to have meaningful conversations with both guys and girls. But sometimes I try so hard to not, because I have kind of an outgoing personality. So sometimes I can, like, you know, just kind of turn it on too much. So, but in any case, to take it back, to bring back what you're saying. I mean, one thing, going back to what we were saying earlier about casual dating, I really love what you had said about trying to plan time with smaller groups, mm-hmm. because that really does allow for, you know, a deeper friendship growing. And you can really get to know someone well just by talking to them and interacting with other people, so that you have a good understanding, like, would this go well if I were to ask her on a date? Would I ask her on a second one, you know? And if the guys could just, you know, be a little bit more outgoing in that sense. And then also just, I think it's important to define what we mean by casual dating, because I think a lot of Catholics use the term casual dating all the time. And we would always, at TSC, we'd always be like, oh, I wish guys would ask girls on more casual dates. What does it even mean? Because it's casual dating as opposed to a formal date, but casual dating is personal time together with the intention of seeing if you'd be compatible for a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the secular term of dating where you're just hanging out starting in third grade.
It's directed. So let's talk about that.
Directed.
How does discerning marriage factor into dating? Because a lot of people date for the sake of dating. Like, it's an end. I like having a boyfriend. I like having a girlfriend. It's nice to have someone to go out with.
Absolutely.
But that really runs contrary to where we would view dating as a means to discern whether this is a person you should marry. So how, especially after, you know, you get past the awkward stuff and you're in the dating realm, where does discernment factor in there? How does that play out?
I don't know. I guess David and I are doing this right now.
Right,
so
you're in the midst of it.
We check in with each other on our, like, month anniversary each month, and we talk about pretty much everything. And just, you know, we just had 8 months. We celebrated 8 months together this last weekend. And so, you know, like,
octogenarians, very good. I don't know what that would be, but
I'll take it. But, you know, we kind of, like, I literally say, do you think Jesus likes us? But, like, you know, checking in to see, like, is, you know, what we're pursuing still marriage? Is do we want to continue pursuing this? Have we run into any issues in the last month that, like, we don't really think we can handle in a lifelong relationship? We talk about, like, good things that have happened and bad things that have happened, and we try to pray together as frequently as we can. But I find those check-ins really help. I think people have a hard time being that straightforward and honest because
otherwise
they don't want to get a rejection.
Because I think what also happens with dating that I have a hard time with, I'll see good Catholic women dating a guy, and they'll be dating for 5 years, 8 years, 10 years. I knew a girl was dating a guy for 10 years. And then he broke up with her, and I think, like, 3 months later, he was dating somebody else.
Yeah.
And so that entire decade of being able to meet someone is lost now at this point, because you're just kind of sliding through a relationship, and some people slide into marriage with that same kind of mindset without having that idea of discernment. So yeah. Ashley, how did you and Chuck discern in your dating process?
Like I said, Chuck was a dream with this. This was, which is appropriate for his personality. He's very direct.
Ashley has to be nice because Chuck is watching, bouncing a baby on the knee.
No, I've said this many a times, and it was refreshing. So let's see. We met at Ultimate Frisbee with a bunch of Catholic adults. And then they normally go out to dinner afterwards. And so there were a few times where we would he'd make sure he sat close to me in this group setting, and we would have some chats, you know, after the games. And then pretty soon pretty soon after. So let's say given a couple weeks of the of that, he asked for my number, and then we maybe had a talk or something. But then he asked me to go to, I think it was some Bible study, some Bible study thing, and mm-hmm. but I'll get to the like. It was very short of all of this little talking right there. So the next thing, it was a date. It was a lunch date, which we actually argue about. Never, I'm sorry.
He's going to storm in here. Here's what really happened.
What was it? No, because he asked for lunch, and I'm telling too much. I'm going on a tangent, but he asked, do you want to have lunch? And it was a weekday. And I thought, okay, he's just checking me out then. You know, it's like at lunch during the week. And he thought, no, it's a date. And I thought, this is just checking me out, type of thing, like a coffee. Let's get coffee together.
I love,
you know,
married retrospectives.
And then later on, he actually used the, like, oh, you know, a week later, he said, can I take you on a date? And so to me, okay, that's a date. He said it. That was our first date. So we argue which was our first date.
Right, right. So now, as the process continues, you know, you're dating your boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
Where does the sermon lead from that to marry? What was like a key pivotal moment?
Yeah. So basically what he did is probably within a month of meeting me, he said, I would like to date you with the purpose of discerning marriage. So it's
straightforward and simple. Just like our Catholic.com website, mastered by Chuck Belucci. Very good. Well, but that's good.
But that was it. But, yeah. I mean, and I don't, the thing is, I just, so given we were, I would think I was 30, he was 32. So maybe you're a little older, but sometimes I think people could just drag things out and take things,
right.
just drag it out. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's needed. I think everyone has the intellect to realize this is a good quality person. And I think I can commit to them. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you're committing, yes, to make a promise with them, but you're committing to God, and God's the one that gives you the strength for your vocation. And the thing is, every married person out there, I think, could agree that, you know, your flaws come out in marriage as well as theirs. But that's the beauty of marriage, is because you have this love for them regardless mm-hmm. of our flaws.
Right.
Just like our Lord. So to like stress so much, oh, I need to find the perfect guy or the most compatible one, or just, I don't know. I think
it's not about finding someone who's perfect. It's
yes.
finding someone who perfects you through the process of growing together.
You know, you
perfect each other.
Yeah. Exactly. Naturally, because you're trying to find someone who is pursuing holiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So your goal is, okay, is this guy or girl, is she or he, are they on their own pursuing holiness? Are they trying to become a saint? Are they trying to practice virtue? Are they struggling to get over sin, mm-hmm. you know, on their own without your help?
Right.
So if they do that on their own, they're marriage material.
I like that.
It's so true.
That's
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We're coming near the end of our time together. I have one last question. I'll put it out there for you to mull over, and then Ashley, I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about Catholic chemistry first. The question is, how do you grow in holiness in your particular stage of life when it comes to the vocation of marriage, either dating, discerning, and, you know, being open to dating and being married? How do you grow in holiness in your particular stage in this process? So think about that. While Ashley, can you tell us just a little bit briefly how people can find out more about Catholic chemistry, so maybe they can meet these awesome people who might not be geographically close to them, but can be close through technology?
Yes. So the website is catholicchemistry.com. And through there, you can, if you want to just try it out, you can get 1 month for free using the promo code JMJ. But also on our profiles, what I think sets us apart is you're able to identify what, say, liturgy you tend to go to, if you're more of a Latin Mass goer or not, or if you're maybe more Eastern Orthodox, as well as you're able to list just the different ministries you're involved in. So that was something personally, like if this guy was involved somehow with his faith in ministries, I knew I could keep talking to
right.
him, you know. So,
and when you said Eastern North, I think you meant like Eastern Rite.
Oh, sorry,
like,
that's
yeah,
what I meant.
Right.
Yes.
So, what your liturgy style, what your personal
yeah.
beliefs are,
mm-hmm.
so you can find where you already have a lot in common to grow from.
Yeah,
that's great.
Exactly.
So that's CatholicChemistry.com.
And it's a cool site. I mean, it's
it is
modern. It's up to date. It's attractive. It's got easy user experience. There's a ton of people on the site. Chuck asked me to be a beta tester back in May, and then my account rolled over. And so I check every once in a while, and I have all these messages from these sweet people that I have to respond to. But it's a good site. It's a
Emily,
very cool site.
Don't leave them hanging, Emily.
We don't want
you leaving us hanging as well. How do you grow in holiness in your particular stage of discernment right now?
So I'm not dating anyone right now. I think the biggest thing is just to be grateful for the blessings I have in my life. And then to be open to our Lord's will. So not to be discouraged or sad that I'm not dating, but rather, as Ashley said, to just focus on growing in holiness and, you know, surrendering to our Lord and running towards him and try to be the best Catholic young woman that I can be. And then to not try to, like you said earlier, to not try to face up to someone, but just to run and see, like, who's running next to me, quote Sarah Swafford. But So I think that would be it, to just like really focus on loving our Lord during this time and to serving him in the way that I have the freedom to do right now.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Keeping an eye out for a guy who's running next to you, not after you, because that might feel a little creepy. So running next to you in comparable good activities. Ms. Marie Dixon.
Oh, gosh. I think in dating you and in marriage probably too, you do see a lot of your flaws, but it's really encouraging and helpful to have somebody who prays for you and like helps to advise you on how to become a more virtuous person. And I think, through prayer and conversation and communication, it's just a beautiful next step of the process.
And Miss Ashley, in the midst of marriage and children, how do you grow in holiness in your vocation?
I would just say that you have to just really give of yourself.
The single person is like, I'm gonna keep running.
Sorry.
And the married person is like, I'm just gonna get up.
I'm in the little years of children, and that's what I'm learning the most from our Lord is just
keep going.
Just keep going. Just keep getting up. Keep serving. And, whether it's my husband or children, and just keep giving of yourselves. And then and then he's going to just provide. He just provides.
I completely understand where you're coming from, Ashley. Sometimes I come in here to the office that marriage, it's not about, and I think we alluded to this about dating and discernment, it's not about two people who are at 50% trying to find another person to fill the glass. Mm-hmm. It's about two people who are at 100% becoming something greater than themselves. So I think this will provide a lot of great resources to people. I understand where you're coming from. Sometimes I come in here, and the kids have been up, I'll be on Catholic Answers Live, and I give an answer, and I then sit back and think, did I really say anything right now? And that's right, because in all, whether you're open to dating, or in marriage, it's about that trustful surrender to divine providence. Some people, it's always grass is greener on the other side, like, oh, I wish I was married. It's like, well, it's not all roses and chocolates and cards. It's like, oh, I remember being single and not having people climbing over me. It's like, but there was a lot there to have anxious about. So it's not a vocation or a relationship that makes us happy. It is our Lord who makes us happy in the midst, whatever vocation may be. Ladies, absolutely. I'm so grateful you're here with us. I also want to recommend to our listeners a great book. If you're especially in the midst of dating and you want to have good questions, good conversations with your beau or with, I don't know what the fancy word is for a beau is a guy. I don't know what it is for a woman.
I don't know.
It's not a foe. That's an enemy. The person that you're dating. Good book is ABCs of Choosing a Good Husband by Stephen Wood, or ABCs of Choosing a Good Wife. Stephen Wood wrote both books, ABCs of Choosing a Good Wife or ABCs of Choosing a Good Husband. There's, at the very least, the chapters are all ABC. Chapter Q, questions to ask, I think are extremely helpful, because sometimes people can date for years and not talk about that which matters most. And so I'm grateful you all were here. I'm grateful for our listeners. Be sure to check out our bonus content this week, including the bonus episode on the real story of St. Valentine at TrentHornPodcast.com. So I'm glad you all were listening. I'm glad you all were here. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, I hope you listeners, you all have a blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.